This is the Tani Talks sessions where we talk a topic for the week for the audience members to keep. The session should be for the Refuah Shleimah of all those who need one. The session should be for the release of all the hostages in captivity, that they should be happy, healthy, safe, alive, and well, be returned to their families speedily, happily, healthily in our days, and may that day be today. And the session should be for the Refuah Shleimah of all those who are sick and all those who are injured, and for the Ilui Nishmas of all those who gave their life on the current battle against evil since October 7th here in 2024. Oftentimes we talk to people and they are focused on and geared on what is the next thing they're going to eat, what is the next thing they're going to chow down, what is the next thing they want to have for their culinary delight. And the question often has become, do these people and do people in general eat to live or do they live to eat? The obvious high proper goal is to live in order to be able to serve Hashem and to do what we can to serve Hashem, so really to eat to be able to live. But unfortunately, especially in secular society, especially in non-Jewish society, unfortunately the outlook is that people live to eat. There are food bloggers, there are people that go around and they comment on food, they blog on food, and this is their job, this is their livelihood. They literally go, they have Facebook groups and WhatsApp groups, and they have websites and social media, social blogging, and they go around and they use that as a platform. And the question is why? Where does this come from? We don't really see this so much in other things. I mean, there is people who blog about fashion, blog about books, but such a strong industry when it comes to the food, it becomes to the idea, but I'm so hungry, I just wanted to eat, I just wanted to enjoy my food. They say about the sages of the older years of a generation or two or three ago that they lived in a different way, a simpler way. My wife's grandfather talks about this often. A kiddush, a simple kiddush, was very, very simple. Even a celebration of a bar mitzvah, of a putting on tefillin, was very simple. There wasn't a lot of fanfare. There wasn't a lot of extravagance. There wasn't a lot of going above and beyond, going overboard, going over the top. They would have a little kugel. They would have a little grape juice, a little wine, maybe a cracker, a saltine, and that's it. You ever see what a gala kiddush looks like nowadays? You ever see what people expect from a kiddush? Not just talking about really wealthy communities, not just talking about really wealthy towns, the five towns or whatnot here in New York, but in general, many, many places, many different places, they have these massive, massive kiddushes. And what is the point of that? Where has it come that we need such extravagance, especially with food? Where does it come from that we waste so much just on the kiddush? Yes, it's nice to have a good time. It's nice to have a nice kiddush. It's nice to enjoy shabbos. But to what extent? It should take over your whole lunch? The mitzvah of onik shabbos, right? The mitzvah of being involved in shabbos, zachar v'shamor, shamor v'zachar, yom shabbos, the kadshom, talks about onik, talks about yayin, basar v'yayin. For those of you who drink wine, I don't, as a general rule, as a general principle. So instead, we have the sparkling grape juice, which is min hashamayim, tam gan eden. Literally, the epitome of one of the wonderful things we have is real onik shabbos, menuchat shabbos. My sour sticks are one of them, also on Friday nights, and pomegranates when they're in season. The seeds is another one. These are things we can do to be ma'anik shabbos. When we have a kiddush, every person who is literally living to eat the next meal, where does this extravagance come from? And that's not really so warranted from our life, from our viewpoint, and from the ways that we should go from. How often do people's mouth water when they think of a yummy and delicious food? How often do people count down the hours to eat a nice home-cooked meal? Do people ever catch themselves thinking about where the next place they can order takeout is, or the next time they'll get food delivered? Chances are, if you're anything like this, it's quite often. And why is that? It is quite often. Why are we so geared toward the gastrointestinal? Doesn't it all end up the same way in our stomach as a bolus? Isn't just fuel for the body at the end of the day? The other question is, can it be fuel for the soul as well? Can we elevate our physical eating and drinking to a higher level? The answer, I believe, is yes, we can. Judaism teaches us to take the physical, to lift it to the spiritual, to make a blessing on our food before and after eating it. I'm all for the good food, the good snack, and the good meal, but is that the main point of my day? Is that the main point of my life? Is that the main point of my existence? Is it the main point of your life or your day or your existence? And we should think about if that's true. The main real question therefore becomes, is it fuel or a reason? Do we eat to live or do we eat to live? But I'm so hungry, but I want to eat. I love to eat. Shouldn't be the main point of the day. Shouldn't be the main point of the life. Holidays in general, Jewish holidays are very food-centric, and Jewish fasts are very anti-food-centric. It's very hard to do a fast because we're so used to stuffing our faces the whole day. All Yom Tov, all Shabbos, every single week Shabbos comes, and it's very food-centric. We have the chulent and the kugel and the grape juice and the challah and the side dish and the main dish, and it has to be that you have X number of things for Shabbos, otherwise you don't feel like it's correct. You know, I could easily make Shabbos where it's just soup on Friday night, chilling during the day, but it doesn't feel like I'm doing justice to Shabbos. It doesn't feel like I'm doing justice to our kids. I want to make sure they all eat. The five little ones, I want to make sure they eat. Obviously, the baby's not eating that. But if I don't make X number of things, why does it feel like Shabbos is lacking? Why does it feel like something is not there? Because we have this whole viewpoint. We have this whole idea that things are so food-centric, that gatherings revolve around food. Holidays and Shabbos parties revolve around food. Reunions, birthday parties, weddings, brises, engagement parties, and so much more all revolve around food. Food is a central aspect in our life and existence, but is it the central aspect? Is it really the central aspect? I remember taking a course in Yeshiva University when I was in college, and it was called The Sociology of Food. The whole course itself was literally centralized around food. My professor, this older lady, kind of like a booby, she showed us videos of this guy going around the world eating really gross things, eating really crazy things, eating really out there things, because there are different aspects to the gastrointestinal. He was challenging himself, but there are shows, so many cooking shows, so many cooking competitions. Why? So many blogs about food, so many websites about food, so many websites for recipes, and of course there are websites for kosher recipes, especially kosher.com, which is a great idea, does a great role, and does a great centralizing point, and is a great feature to have in our life. But the whole thing, the whole website is food. The whole website is related to eating. And it takes us into a little bit of a spin of a dovetail from our lives of what we're supposed to focus on and what we're supposed to do. Emuna Braverman points out on ish.com, are you living to eat or eating to live? Rabbi Weinberg used to ask, are you eating to live or living to eat? Whatever the reality is of our lives, we all knew the right answer. When you think about it, we're eating to live. We all know the right answer. Food should be a means, not an end. That doesn't mean it shouldn't taste good. That doesn't mean it shouldn't be presented attractively and beautifully. God has given us a rich world and we should enjoy it. But with focus, with discipline, with perspective. For Shabbos and holidays, the meal should be extra special. We do want our bodies to sigh with pleasure, but only because the goal is to deepen our appreciation of the day and our gratitude to the Creator. But it's never about the food alone. It should never just be about the food alone. We need to make sure that we have that in mind. We need to make sure we keep it in the mindset that we're eating with the proper perspective. We shouldn't lose sight of the fact that food is meant to sustain us, that we will have the strength to engage in meaningful pursuits and develop our relationship with Hashem. Our forefather Abraham Avinu used to love to invite guests into his home and serve them a meal. He would use the opportunity to teach them to recognize the source of the nourishment through the saying of blessings. It was never really about the food. Food should be used as a means to accomplish, a fuel, a means to get things done in this world once we have the guests in our tanks. Rabbi Belovsky explains on ish.com, if we investigate closely, we will be able to detect two distinct elements involved in the act of eating. The first, most obvious, is that the food enters our body and is digested. This gives us the nutrients we need to live healthy lives. But there is a second, lower form of the life than we. There's a less apparent purpose. All our food comes from plants and animals, both are which lower forms of life than we. By ingesting them, allowing them to become part of us, we raise them to a higher form of existence. That is, we take their very limited spiritual potential, attach it to our more sophisticated and valuable mode of life. This is the worlds of the Tzemeach, the plant life, and the Chai, the animal life, and raise it to the level of Medaber, the human life. Think about the weekly Shabbos meals. Shabbos is imbued with sufficient Kedusha that we can imbibe it throughout the day and have no need for food or clothing to sustain us. But Shabbos is not just an opportunity to develop our own Kedusha, but also a chance to raise the level of the Kedusha of our environment. Thus, by eating fine foods, wearing our best clothes on Shabbos, we enable those things to attach themselves to their higher roots and become elevated with us. Take the food, elevate it, uplift it. Don't just use it to stuff your face or stuff your stomach. Rabbi Winston points out on H.com, Jewish law instructs us to make a blessing over food that we are about to enjoy. If you are hungry and you want to eat a nice, red, delicious apple, you'll have to make the special blessing for fruit of the trees. If it's bread you're about to sink your canines into, you make the blessing on eating fruit, fish, eggs, orange juice, you name it. They all require a blessing before being enjoyed. So next time you chance upon a person who seems to be talking to his food before eating, you might ask him, "What are you doing? Why are you talking to your food?" Hopefully he would, of course, answer, "I'm not talking to my food, I'm talking to God. I'm hungry, so I'm making a blessing so that I could eat the sandwich with his permission." Is he right? On a simplistic level, yes, he's making a blessing so that he can eat. But on a more Kabbalistic level, the true answer would be, "I'm about to eat this apple so that I can make a blessing." You're eating to make a blessing? Correct. When one makes a blessing over food, it elevates sparks that are contained in the food and the person himself. After all, elevating sparks is what life in the world is all about, right? Food, in fact, is just physical clothing to hide the spiritual sparks within it. It's not apples or vitamins that keep us alive, otherwise they'd be able to revive dead people as well, which of course they cannot. It is the sparks that they hide inside that feed the soul, which in turn provides life for the body. Gather up those sparks from you and the world, especially in the food, and recognize where those sparks really come from. Gita Bixis Banner, it points out on H.com, eat fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, nuts and seeds, lean meats and fish, olive and flaxseed oils as the main components of the diet. We have to make sure to have those right essential nutrients that help with health and energy. Make sure to use pure extra virgin olive oil. That doesn't increase cardiovascular disease. Rather than hydrogenated fats or oils, use foods rich in heart-healthy, anti-inflammatory omega-3 fatty acids, like salmon, tuna, walnuts, and flax seeds. Favor those lean meats that afford more protein with less fat. Think about ingesting skim milk. Skim Plus, by the way, is fantastic. I love that. It's skim milk with the taste of real full milk. Avoid white sugar, white wheat, white pasta, and white unrefined rice. Use whole grain, whole wheat, brown rice, and noodles. Avoiding these things can make your intake better and avoid other problems. Eat only whole grains. Fresh produce is best. Keep meals simple. They are quicker, easier to prepare. Eat slower. It helps you to enjoy the meal longer without overeating. Eat on a regular schedule. Keep your metabolism and hunger in check. We eat every day at 5 p.m. We have very young kids. We try to do that. Avoid processed food, thus nothing out of a box. Limit eating out as much as possible. Include the three building basics in your meal planning: protein, carbs, and fat. Don't drink your calories. Soft drinks, even diet coffees and fruit juices, can add a lot of empty calories to the intake. Watch out for too much salt, sugar, and fat. Moderation is key. And get moving. Make a conscious effort to exercise at least 30 minutes a day, or a total of 150 minutes a week. Some say to get 180 minutes a week or 30 minutes every 6 days. Definitely a good idea to do that. Make sure that you're eating well, living well. Make sure you have a good lifestyle with built-in flexibility to fit your kind of routine with your kind of balance. Make sure to do what you can and avoid and add good things at dinners. Even a vegetable or two would be good. Cauliflower, broccoli, or spinach could be good. Do what you can and make sure to eat in the right way. Am I Ismail Zadeh explains on H.com, eat hungry, sit down, acknowledge your food, remove distractions, chew, swallow, wait, repeat, and appreciate. Make sure to do what you can to eat the food in the right way. Make sure you eat things in the right way. Don't just binge eat. Don't just binge eat or binge drink. Eat in moderation. Eat to satiation, not to engorgement. The Rambam talks about food is central. Food is fantastic and food is important. But make sure to eat in the right way. Make sure to do what we can to be involved in a wonderful, wonderful aspect. And by the way, there's wonderful, wonderful organizations out there. You think about Maspia. You think about Like at Israel. You think about Tom HaShavas. They are organizations that are powerful and geared towards helping those who are not good with food, who don't have food safety, who don't have food security. You think about areas out there in the world where there are food deserts. They don't have any good restaurant. They don't have any good supermarket for miles. How are they supposed to eat healthy? How are they supposed to eat organic? When the price of food has skyrocketed in recent years due to inflation, and when the availability of options are limited, it's very difficult to make healthy, good choices. If a cheeseburger from McDonald's is 99 cents, but organic peppers are $6.99, what do you think a poor family is going to choose? What would a middle-income family choose? What would a low-income family choose? Six times the price for organic versus nasty stuff? It should really be the opposite. A good, fresh orange, a good fresh pepper should be the 99 cents, and the cheeseburger deluxe should be $6.99, so that people can have easier choices, easier healthy living, and easier ways of going about their life. We want to make sure that we see that there are excellent aspects, excellent parts of our life. We want to make sure to raise our life, to raise our choices. Don't live to eat, but make sure to eat to live. Hashem gave us food to fill ourselves up with, not to waste away, not to gouge ourselves needlessly. Hashem wants us to eat all the kosher of the world, but in a proper way. Hashem decides at the beginning of the year how much we will have in terms of food, money, and more. If you use it for a mitzvah, it's not even calculated in the original amount. Hashem will get it back to you. We hold that we got to be grateful and thank Hashem for all the food we get, even if it doesn't tap our palate, even if we don't like it. Anything we eat, we should praise Hashem for and use it for the right ways and the right reasons. We should use our tables and our meals for mitzvahs such as Torah, singing and eating, for mitzvahs and to come help those around us. But we need a warm place to eat with warm home-cooked meals, like the idea in the Seder, whoever is hungry, come join us. Make sure to use the food in the right ways, that it's nourishing and healthy with choices of what experts recommend in terms of health, such as my plate with having dairy, fruits, vegetables, carbs, and poultry or fish on your plate. Do we ever really stop to pause to think, to listen to where food comes from? Who planted it? Who sowed it? Who baked it? Who set it up? We should be appreciative of every aspect from where it comes, to the store, to the table, or to the door of your delivery, like a lot of times we do. Be careful with the food. Respect it. Don't trash it. Don't waste it. Eat when you're hungry and eat to satiation, not just to eat for the sake of eating. Make sure to feed those around you first, such as your spouse and your kids and any pets, then yourself. Use your food for Torah, for mitzvahs, for chesed, for good. The source of don't eating anything of harm, this is a source against ideas such as the Nathan's hot dog eating contest, which I think is gross. Don't be abhorrent. Don't eat anything gross, disgusting, or in a disgusting manner just to stuff things down. Make sure to live and eat within your means and eat to a proper extent. Eat to live, do not live to eat. But I'm so hungry. But I love to eat. We have to love to eat in the proper manner, the proper aspect, the proper outlet, and the proper outlook. Remember, this world is just a corridor, just a transition, a platform to the next world. Why ingest so much so often? To be more flesh for the maggots in the grave? After 120 years, take care of yourself and those around you. Eat well. Be physically active. Make sure to eat in a proper way, with a proper mindset, with a proper amount of nice-looking and nice-tasting food. The question about food ends up being, do we live to eat or do we eat to live? I hope we can all and will all answer in the latter, that we eat to live. It doesn't mean we shouldn't have good food. It doesn't mean it shouldn't look nice. It doesn't mean that it shouldn't be the center, the focus, and the goal of our lives every day. Make yummy, pretty food and get the kids to help make food. My kids love to help, but make it in a moderation. Eat in a in a proper way, making blessings, talking to those around you, eating slowly to your filling, not to overstuff yourself. Think about what you could do, especially in the world, especially related to food. Remember that food is just a fuel stop along the way of our day. Hopefully we can train ourselves to learn to fix our outlook on it, to uplift it, to use food to bring us closer to Hashem and make the world a much better place. Think about that food. Think about these things that are over extravagant, a bar mitzvah, a bris, a wedding. How much food is put into the situation? How much food is wasted? You could have a beautiful party with so much less. A bris doesn't have to be $5,000. Crazy. Heard about that case by someone else. Crazy. $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. Even $2,000 is crazy. You could have a simple, beautiful, beautiful, pure, wonderful bris. You could have a simple, beautiful, wonderful bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah. Use the money for other things. Donate to people in the world who really need it. Do what you can to focus, to understand that food is a way to help us through our days. Food is fuel. Food should not just be the end all and be all of our days. Every single day. This has been Tani Talks Sessions, where we talk about a topic for the week for the audience members to keep. Join us next time, same place here on the Tani Talks Sessions, TTS. And I'm your host, Tani.